Yes, thank you, Paul. Let me indeed tell the Council a little bit about how we progressed. In particular about the MOU projects, and let me start out with financial instruments. First of all, we agreed to expose a proposal to move forward the mandatory effective date for IFRS 9 from the 1st of January 2013 to 2015. Since the remaining chapters of IFRS have not been finished yet, and they had been expected to finish by now, we thought it was wiser to propose to extend the mandatory effective date. In terms of offsetting of financial assets and financial liabilities, we were unfortunately unable to reach full convergence with the FASB. We voted 15-0 to confirm the proposals as put forward in the exposure draft, whereas the FASB voted 4-3 to stick with their current system, in which offsetting is much more widely possible than under our standard. Very unfortunate, because it is not. I mean, we will get converged disclosures, so the trained investor can exactly see what the differences are between the banks, but the not so trained investor will be under the impression that European banks, for example, are much more highly leveraged than American investment banks, while they are not truly, while this is not truly the case. So that was unfortunate. Perhaps the future will bring better news, but let's wait and see for now. In terms of hedge accounting, we have completed our deliberations, and we have asked the staff to prepare a draft of the final requirements, including application guidance and a basis for conclusion. And that draft will be made available as a staff draft on the ISB website for about 90 days. We have decided to do so to provide the board with the opportunity to undertake an extended fatal flaw process and additional outreach, and the additional advantages that we are giving the FASB the opportunity to consider our proposals and to see whether they want to come on board, because we were far ahead of the FASB in this respect. We think we created some really good work, which is welcomed around the world, and we would very much welcome the FASB on board here. So we're buying a little bit of time to get that done. Impairment. Impairment is quite an exasperating dossier, and sometimes I truly have the feeling, what are they asking us to do? And who should be doing whose job? Because every time we come up with a model that makes a lot of sense from an accounting point of view, and also I think an economic point of view, because that's what we like to think, that our work does make economic sense, then the banks tell us that they cannot do it. They cannot follow. They don't have systems in place that follow credits from being good to bad. They don't have tracking systems in place. I thought that was ordinary business for a bank, but apparently this is not the case. We started out with what the time proportionate allotment, or what was it called? Do you remember? Time proportionate allotment standard or system, which made a lot of sense, couldn't do it. Now we came up with a relative model where you would start in bucket one. All loans should start in bucket one. As they deteriorate, they go to bucket two, and they get a bigger impairment. Cannot do it. So now we have to start working around these problems again, and we have to come up with all kinds of artificial methods. And I'm getting quite exasperated, I must say. Let's see what we can do about this, but I'm almost ready to hand it back to the banking regulators. Do your job. Classification and measurement. This is where we are furthest apart. We started out converged with the FASB. Now we are further apart than before. Very unsatisfactory situation. The FASB and ourselves have decided that before the FASB is going to expose their final considerations on this issue, that we are getting the possibility to take a good look at it, and then we can see whether we can come closer together than we are now. We might not get completely converged, but we both feel there might be a possibility of getting closer together. That's all I can say about it at this moment, also because I don't know how far we can get. This is very sensitive and also very difficult, but we are going to do our best. Leasing and revenue recognition, you know, we have made great progress on all the major issues. We felt on both standards that we had actually not diverged so much from the exposure drafts that we had to re-expose. But given the sensitivity and the fact that, for example, revenue recognition is such an important standard for all companies in the world, we decided to re-expose both. We are now finishing up the exposure drafts, and we expect to finalize our work in 2012. And for those who think, well, don't you then get too far ahead in time, and wouldn't that be a consideration for the SEC to postpone their decision about adoption or not adoption of IFRS? They have reassured us that will not play a role, since the SEC, among others, have asked us at a certain point to slow down because the world was getting exasperated by the sheer volume of our work. Well, this by the way of introduction, Chair.
I suspect it won't be the only file that causes some exasperation over the years, but I can relate to the frustration it must be to be torn in different directions and get quite different messages at times. Questions, comments of Hans and the work? Ken.
Hans, thank you very much for your feedback. I have been following it. I understand your frustration. But just to clarify the issue, regarding the impairment model, my understanding is that the IASB and the FASB are still working on a common impairment model. Our frustration is with the practitioners. Is that correct?
We're still working. We will have a meeting next week in Norwalk, where we will again discuss a couple of papers on impairment. We have far from given up, and we'll really do our best. But I felt a sudden urge to give this signal that I'm getting a little bit fed up with what we're trying to do and how difficult it is, because everything that makes sense apparently is not doable. So then we are asked to do things that don't make sense. And that might be doable, but but it is not something that we would like to do.
Other comments, reactions? Covering a lot of territory. All right, well then we'll have ample opportunity to come back to specifics as we get into other items on the agenda, so Hans, we may revisit some of those issues, but thank you for that. And I guess the views of counsel been pretty consistent in my recollection in saying on these issues, high quality is what ranks top of list in our priorities. Timing is important, but secondary. And I guess one of the things that the board has to balance is theory versus the practical arguments. And I suspect that's where some of the frustration is, that people may be challenging you in terms of the doability of some of these issues. But on the other hand, cost arguments get trotted out oftentimes in the context of people who just don't like what's being proposed.
Perhaps because I would... Sorry, if we have a little time extra, I would really like to explain what the frustration with this impairment model is. First, we had what we... I will not talk about the first proposal that we made. That's a long time ago. I wasn't there yet. What did we try to do this time, working together with the FASB? We were proposing that, proposing three buckets, bucket one, bucket two, bucket three. Bucket three is very simple. That's where banks are now too. Those are the individually identified loans that are not performing, the workout department of the bank. So that is clear. What was also pretty clear was bucket one. Bucket one were all the loans that were originated would go in bucket one. And according to the credit risk that you attached to it, you took a 12-month expected loss on it. A relatively small first day loss, which we don't like first day losses because a bank does not make a loan expecting it to make a loss, except when you're able to sell it as junk in CDO to some other part of the world. But I expect that practice is over by now. But normally a bank would only make a loan expecting it to, on the average, to make a profit and to make a profit on a portfolio. So we don't like day one losses. It doesn't make any economic sense. But as this was again a thing of we cannot do it otherwise, we cannot calculate it otherwise, we were willing to accept that for bucket one, in a small amount. Then what would happen if so even a loan that was of that had a high risk, for example, a loan made by what is common practice in parts of the world, for example in South Africa, is to make loans to people that you know they have a high risk of not paying back. You just charge them a high interest, and despite huge charge-offs, you still make a profit on the whole. Also, those loans would go into bucket one, and only when they deteriorated from your original expectations, they would go to bucket two, and then you would take the lifetime loss, the expected lifetime loss, acceptable to us. Then the banks told us, we cannot do this because we don't follow. We don't have these tracking systems in place. We do not follow our loans from one bucket to the other. So we could do it, but it would cost us a lot of money to get the systems in place. First, I didn't believe it, but they kept on repeating it. And to tell the truth, they have convinced me that indeed you would expect them to have these systems. They don't have it, and I do accept that it would cost a lot of money to create these systems. And I don't think it is our job to make banks do that. They put systems in place that would be very costly and that they would otherwise not do. So then we were... What they were proposing is, instead of this relative model where all loans start in the bucket one and then gradually go to bucket two or bucket three, create an absolute model where all loans go to one of the buckets, bucket one or bucket two, according to their original credit rating. So the risky ones would go immediately to bucket two, and the less risky ones would go immediately to bucket one, which in our system would lead to these more risky loans on which you still expect to make a profit to go directly into bucket two, and then you would have to take a huge hit on these loans as you originate them, a huge first day loss, since in bucket two you take lifetime expected losses. That's where we are. That we find it unacceptable that that the accounting would lead to practices, loss-taking practices that make no sense at all, that have no foundation in the economics that is going on. But I'm afraid that this model would lead us to do so. Now, what we're going to try to do next week is to find ways how to go around this problem with all sorts of artifacts. I haven't read the papers yet for next week, but I'm sure it's going to be very difficult, and that's a little bit where my exasperation comes from. So anybody who has good ideas here is welcome.
Now there's an invitation, but I suggest you take it offline or we'll get caught up in knots on a very thorny issue, but one that clearly needs to be resolved. Some of these things do not improve with repetition, and by now I would have thought all promising lines would have been identified. Yeah. So it's hard to imagine a brand new vision is going to emerge that's going to calm you down.
We've been working on this for over 2 years now, I think.
Patrice, yeah, sure.
Yes, just to go back to the financial instruments issue that Hans has exposed, thoughts about the fact that I understand that ASB and FASB has not been able to converge on the same presentation, and they will compromise on the additional disclosures to try to reconcile. I think we have to pay. I'm a bit aware of the fact that every time we cannot compromise or find a usual way, the solution is very often to additional disclosures. And this trend is, we have to pay a lot of attention to this trend, because at the end of the day, the companies will, if you consider today really the number of pages of disclosure that any company has in its financial papers, it's absolutely incredible, not readable, not understandable. And the time you have to understand the global picture is absolutely without any consideration with the time the business is going. That means the solution, I can understand that when two big institutions cannot go to a unique way, the easy way is to additional disclosure. But from 3 years from now, I think we will get a pack. That means just a question.
Patrice, I think the agenda committee has already identified disclosure framework and getting rid of the excess baggage. The various projects are underway as something that we'll spend time discussing in February. So another marker down, Hans, that disclosure has its role, but needs to be a disciplined one, just like everything else.
Yeah, it is true that disclosure is often the result of a compromise. So it becomes more and more wieldy and voluminous. And this is a clear case of such a compromise. It's better, in this case, you really need it, though. Otherwise, you couldn't see at all. If these huge volumes of derivatives would not even be in the notes, then we would be in real trouble.
All right. Well, I think the lack of comments certainly isn't a lack of interest. It's probably more a reflection that we've been discussing these things for the last 3 years or more, and we tend to get more excited when we put our sights forward to the future rather than the past. So it's about to move on. And Jared, do you have a question or a comment?
Just to express a concern, in June, we put a lot of emphasis that we should move away from convergence towards adoption. With this development, where does it leave the rest of the world? We're all watching what's happening, and the rest of the world are being told that you should reach a stage where you should be adopting IFRS and not seek convergence. And here we are talking about getting around it.
Let me respond to my understanding, and then Hans can correct me if I misspeak. But my understanding is what we're discussing is an MOU project, Gerard, where the protocol, you know, was agreed quite some time ago. So that still has to play out, and I think that the trustees were signaling that going forward, the place of convergence needs to be revisited. My sense is that doesn't mean there's no role for convergence, but that it is a tool or a stepping stone towards the ultimate goal of adoption. But so I certainly think the role of convergence, perhaps we should come back to in the discussion of the consultation that's underway right now on the post-2011 agenda as to, you know, if you wouldn't mind perhaps reserving it, and we'll come back to it then if you have questions as to how it, is it a factor in that debate or not? Anything you want to add to that?
No.